Okay, now it's on, right? Okay, happy birthday to Jim. I actually try to remember when it was the first time that I ever heard of the trace formula. I couldn't. I couldn't remember. But I do remember when I got my first explanation of it, and that was a beautiful spring day in Paris 32 years ago. As I entered my office at the IGS, I had to find out, much to my dismay, that I had acquired an office mate and that I had to share an office. And so I just sat down and tried to work. And after a while, I asked the guy next to me what he was working on, and he said the trace formula. So at this point, I must have heard something about it, because my reaction was, oh, that's something complicated. And this other guy got up to the blackboard and went to the blackboard and said, no, it's not complicated, it's something very simple. And while the other guy was Langmuir, he went to the blackboard and he wrote down something very quickly. And I don't think I understood it, but I think it stuck in some ways. And I would actually like to start my talk by, I think the trace formula is actually many things. It's not just stabilization and this and that, but it sort of has many aspects. And I want to remind you of a very simple aspect, which is relevant for my talk. And since it's so well known, I don't think I need the blackboard for this. No, I don't want to pull it down all the way. So here's a very simple case where the trace formula does give you something. So I take the case of a reductive group over the rationals, such that the Archimedean component is compact, and I look at the space of function locally constant with compact support on this coset space, and then we want to calculate the trace of the characteristic function of this double coset, and it's obvious that this is just the volume of K times the number of fixed points of the correspondence that G induces on the coset, on the double coset space here. And so, in order to calculate the trace, we now have to calculate the number of fixed points. And for this, we just write down what it means to be a fixed point. And so, the result is that this is the number of pairs, y bar and gamma, where y bar is in this coset space here, and gamma is the element in the rational group which makes this identity here true. And now we reorder this set according to the conjugacy class of gamma, and so we see that this is just a disjoint sum over the quotient of this set here by the centralizer. And so we see that all in all, the number of fixed points is simply the sum of the cardinalities of these finite sets, which then we can write as an integral if we want, and we do want, because then in the end what we get if we put all these things together and make just a linear extension over all functions, we get that the trace of any function in this function space on C is just the sum over conjugacy classes in G of Q of the orbital integrals of this function. Oh, sorry. And that's the trace formula in this case. So it's pretty simple, but it's not trivial, I think. And so, that's it for the time being. I need the lights again, because now I want to use the blackboard. Because now I want to go over to a case which is more complicated, which is actually the subject of my talk. Namely, I want to consider the reduction modulo P of Shimura varieties. So I fix a prime number P And I look at the Shimura variety SK, which is the Shimura variety with parahoric level structure. Maybe I'll use this up a little bit. Parahoric level structure at P, and which is supposed to represent some moduli problem of the BN variety. Okay, and so what this means precisely is that this open compact subgroup K and the finite Lidell group is a product of K sub P and something away from P, and this K sub P, this is supposed to be parahoric, so this means that it is the ZP rational points of the parahoric subgroup of G. Which means that this is a smooth group scheme over the integers with generic fiber G, and whose integral points are exactly this compact subgroup. And so we want to study this Shimura variety, and we are assuming here that this moduli problem makes even sense over the integers. So in other words, we have an integral model of this. And then we want to study the points in the reduction modulo P. And these points come in isogeny classes, and each isogeny class will have the following form. And now this is very similar to the transparency that I just removed, namely, we have a coset space away from P, and this is divided into, now not by G of Q, but a group which is very closely connected to G of Q. Let me just call it I of Q. And this now acts on the product of this thing here with a component at P. And this XP, this is supposed to be a set of, you can think of this as the set of lattices provided by Dieudonné theory. So this is some subset of the coset space of G of L modulo P of OL, and here L is the completion of the maxima and ramified extension of QP. And now the situation has changed a little bit. Now it's not the whole finite Adair group that acts, but only the finite Adair group away from P. By acting, I mean as correspondences. And then at the component P, it's not the group G of QP that acts, but rather the Frobenius, or rather the Frobenius to the, I mean, not all the Frobenius things act, but only those which are multiple, which are defined over the residue field of the reflex field over which this Shimura variety is defined. So FP is some. It's not really important now, but it's the residue field, the extension of the residue field over the prime field. And so now what we want to understand is the number of fixed points of a Hecker operator away from P and a suitable power of the Frobenius phi. And so as simple as this formula that I just stated for the Selberg trace formula, there's a similar, extremely simple formula which was discovered by Cutwitz, and the proof is just as simple essentially. So the number of fixed points, so you take some element G in the finite Adair group away from P, and then some suitable power of the Frobenius. This is equal, and now you again write down this equation, that what it means to be a fixed point, and you get some equation where you have a sum. Most of the time this sum actually has just one, only one element, the gamma is an element in this I of Q. This comes from this one equation, and the other one is an element in the J in the unramified extension of degree J of QP. I mean, these not all pairs will appear. I mean, they have to be, so to speak, compatible. And then again, there's some volume factor times an over the integral of gamma of the function which belongs to G. This is the factor that comes, so to speak, as a contribution away from P. And now when you write down the fixed point equation for the power of Frobenius, it's not an orbital integral, but rather a twisted orbital integral of a certain function, which I call VPJ, of a certain function on the group G of QPJ. And what is this function? Well, this function is supposed to be the characteristic function of the subset here, which describes those lattices whose relative position with its translate under Frobenius has the correct position. So this is either 1 or 0, depending on whether this position is correct or not. And so this gives the number of fixed points. Now, these varieties have in general bad reduction. And then to calculate the zeta function, we do not want to calculate just the number of fixed points, but actually we have to weight each fixed point by a weighting factor. And the weighting factor that I would take is the semi-simple trace of the Frobenius on the vanishing cycles. So this is sort of hard to explain. So we just ask you to take it on faith that this is the correct factor. So we want to weight each point. Each fixed point by the following expression. So I just write semi-simple trace of the jth power of Frobenius, so let's say we call this point here x, on the complex of vanishing circuits at x. Well, I mean, so the philosophy is that this value here should only depend on the p component of this point, and then once you know the p component of this point, this function, I mean, there is supposed to be a function, let's call it psi j, which goes from the fixed point under Frobenius. So I have here g of l modulo p of OL. I take the fixed points under p to the j, which is the same thing as g of q p to the j modulo p of p to the j. And then this is supposed to go into QL bar. And so this is a function which is certainly supposed to be have support in the set, in the same set as this function here. And it's supposed to, so what is a semi-simple trace? Well, I mean, if the inertia subgroup acts by a finite quotient, then it would just be the alternating trace of Frobenius on the fixed points under the inertia subgroup. And in general, you construct a filtration on this vector space such that on each quotient, the inertia subgroup does act to a finite quotient, and then you do this operation. Okay, and so the question is that I'm concerned with is, what is this function here? Okay, and so the approach that I'm taking to this problem is through the method of local models. So what is this method of local models? Well, it consists, in a nutshell, it consists in doing the following thing. You take this Shimura variety, you're of course supposing that this has a good model, whatever that means, over the integers of the reflex field, we call it OE, then you extend scalars to the prime over P that you want to consider, so OEP, and then you want to construct a diagram of the following kind. So here, pi is supposed to be a principal homogeneous space under the group scheme P, and this map phi is supposed to be smooth of the same relative dimension and furthermore you have to imagine the Shimura variety is defined by a rather complicated nonlinear moduli problem, so it's hard to understand these varieties. But these local models, so this will be here, so to speak, the local model. This is supposed to be a projective scheme over OEP, which is defined in terms of linear algebra. So I will just, in a minute, I will give an example of this, and you will see that the definition of these local models is quite elementary, even though these varieties are not simple, because from this diagram it is clear that locally for the et al. Topology, all the singularities on the Shimura variety are modeled on the singularities that appear in the local model. Okay. And so there's one question that I have to sort of clarify, namely, by writing this, of course, I'm choosing already a model of the Shimura variety, which originally is just defined over a number field over the ring of integers, and a priori it's not clear how to do this, but in many cases the moduli problem admits a formulation that works all this in exactly the same way over the ring of integers. And so the naive idea would be to simply take this formulation of the moduli problem and to see whether this gives you something sensible, like, for instance, something flat. I mean, if it's not flat, then you would have, for instance, extraneous components that you don't want in the model, and so then you made the wrong choice and you try to adjust it. But it turns out, and so this is, so to speak, the theme of my talk now, that in the unramified situation, the naive idea actually works. So if you take the moduli problem as it is handed to you over the complex numbers, then it does give you the good model. And if it is ramified, then this in general does not work. Okay, and so I want to illustrate these things in one example, namely the example of the Shimura variety associated to the group of unitary similitudes. So the rest of the time will just be about this example. So I fix notation as follows. I fix an integer n, which I write as r plus s. R and s will be the signature of the Hermitian form. I let f be a quadratic extension, imaginary quadratic field contained in the field of complex numbers. And the moduli problem that I want to consider then is roughly the following. This is not 100% precise, but I think it's good enough. So we want to look at abelian varieties A of dimension n, with an OF linear polarization, OF linear principal polarization, such that the trace of the action of an element, so I'm just giving the representation of OF on the Lie algebra of A, this is supposed to be R times the identical representation and S times the conjugate representation. And then furthermore, I need a level structure away from P. And then a parahoric level structure at P. Oh yeah, sorry, with action of OF, sorry. Right. And then it's easy to see that this is representable if you formulate it 100% correctly. So this is gives you this scheme, which I will call SK over spec E, where E is a reflex field. So in this case, E is just equal to F if R is not equal to S, and otherwise it's just Q. Okay. And now I look at this fixed prime number P, and I look at its behavior in F, and so there are three cases. So I can list them here. First case is P splits in F. Second case is P is inert in F. And third case, P is ramified in F. And so the first two cases are unramified cases in the sense of what I said before. In other words, for them, the naive moduli problem, as I formulated it here, works. So in other words, here I didn't make actually any use of the fact that the Sabean variety A was defined over a field or a scheme in characteristic zero. So I just take the same moduli problem and I try to see what it gives when I extend it over over the integers. And in this case, the local model looks as follows. So I want to use, again, a transparency because it's a lot of things to write, although it's not really important. Okay, so I want to define now this scheme by linear algebra. So I start with the n-dimensional vector space over QP with standard basis E1 up to EN. And then I introduce the standard lattice chain by lambda 0, lambda 1, and so on. So this means that I multiply with P inverse more and more elements of this standard basis. So I get a periodic lattice chain where from the last lattice lambda n minus 1, I go back to the first one by multiplying with P. Okay, now for the parahoric level structure, this depends on a subset I of the index set from 0 up to n minus 1. So I fix this. And then the local model is defined by a functor. Namely, it is the set of commutative diagrams as follows. So you take this periodic lattice chain and you tensor it with the structure sheaf of S. This is what this index S means. So these are free OS modules of rank n, and then inside those I want to give subsheaves, so coherent subsheaves which are locally direct summons of rank r, and such that they do form a commutative diagram as I go around the circle and in this thing itself also. So in other words, each one of these is just an element of the Grassmannian of subspaces of dimension R in a space of dimension N. But then I put them together and it gives me an incidence relation, and the scheme that results from this is actually not so easy to understand. Okay, but one thing which is clear is that this is obviously a closed subscheme of a product of Grassmannians, and so therefore it is representable by a projective scheme over ZP. Okay, so can I have the light again? So now I want to state something about this, some facts about this local model. So first of all, let me make a remark. So this is, so MI is a projective scheme. I mean, it's representable by a projective scheme over ZP with generic fiber the Grassmannian of subspaces of dimension R in the vector space of dimension N. Now how about the singularities of this space? I mean, of course they only occur in the special fiber. So first of all, this is just what I said. If I just has one element, then of course it's smooth, because it's just the Grassmannian of R planes again, this time over the integers. Secondly, if this integer R, the rank of these subsheaves, is equal to 1, then this is not difficult to see that this gives a divisor with normal crossings in the special fiber. So in other words, this has semi-stable reduction. This is a case that was first considered by Drienfeld. And to give you a taste of what happens if, in general, let me consider the case where we take two indices. In this case, the worst singularity that appears has the following form. We take pairs xy of matrices of size r. R is again this integer. And you impose the equation that x times y is equal to y times x equal to p times the identity matrix. So the special fiber of this variety is a variety of matrix pairs x times y equals y times x equal to 0. That's a famous classical variety. It's called the circular variety. Has been studied for a long time. In recent time, by Strickland, Mehta and Trivedi and Faltings. And some of the things that I'm going to state have been actually proved, so to speak, for this case before. So the first theorem that I want to state concerns the local structure of these singularities. So this is due to Gerlz. And it says, first of all, we have taken the right choice of the model by just taking the naive extension of the moduli problem, namely, MI is flat over ZP. Any of the cases. No, I mean, I'm still sticking with one. I see. Yes, I'm at the first case, yes. Sorry, I should have said that. Okay, furthermore, the special fiber is reduced and all its irreducible components are normal with rational singularities. So in other words, the singularities, they do occur, but still, they are not so bad. And the fact that the special fiber is reduced seems to have some independent significance. Actually, maybe I should also say that the question here is this Cohn-Macaulay, this is still not solved. I mean, Goertz has proved this in low dimensional cases, but this thing is still open. And I think that there is a significance to this question. Actually, quite recently, there has been sort of a significance from quite an unexpected corner. Namely, such questions come up in the study of the deformation spaces of Galois representations. And so for them, for these people, I think it's quite important to know something about the commutative algebra of these moduli spaces. Okay, so that's one theorem. And the other theorem I want to mention concerns this other question, namely determining the function which describes the semi-simple trace. So that's the theorem which is due to Haynes and Ngo. Namely, first of all, they prove that the function psi j, which goes from g of qp to the j modulo p of qp to, vp to the j into ql bar, lies in the center of the Hecker algebra. Take an algebra of functions of g of qpj, which are bi-invariant under this compact subgroup, and furthermore, it is characterized by its image in the spherical Hecker algebra. So this is what was known before it was solved as the Cutwitz conjecture. And secondly, they also prove that the action of inertia on these vanishing cycles is unipotent. So in this context, actually, I want to raise the question whether this action is not, I mean, so let's say I take every sheaf here. I mean, of course, as a consequence, it's also unipotent on each fiber and on each cohomology groups of these. And I want to raise the question whether this action is not simply trivial. So I think that it should be trivial, and it would be interesting to check this on examples. So far, when we calculated this, we have always blown up these singularities, but this kind of method can never work for this kind of question, because by blowing it up, you can only relate it to the thing downstairs by some spectral sequence or something like this. So I don't think this will help you. So you have to work with the singularity itself. Okay. Now, I don't want to comment on the proofs of these theorems. I just want to say one thing, namely the important ingredient of the proof, of both proofs, is the embedding of the special fiber of the local model in the affine flag variety for SLN. So the ingredient is, if you take the special fiber of this local model, and this can be embedded as a closed subscheme inside the affine flag variety, partial flag variety for the group SLN of the powers, Laurent power series field over FP. And so both of them use this, and namely it is a union of affine Schubert variety. And in the case of Goertz, he uses the fact that these Schubert varieties are normal and have a Frobenius splitting in a compatible way. In the case of Haynes and Goh, they use the deformation of this affine flag variety to the affine Grassmannian that was introduced by Balanson and Gates-Goy. Okay. So this concludes my discussion of the case where P is split. So if P is inert, let me see, when did I start actually? Okay. So if P is inert, then of course Goertz's theorem just goes over as before. This is because the local models, I mean, so let me maybe case two. In this case, the local model is the same thing. So it becomes, so to speak, the local model becomes MI tensored up with OL over OL. So in other words, they're just twisted forms of one another. And so this means that Goertz's theorem just goes through without any changes. In the case of the theorem of Haynes and Goh, we discussed this in the last few weeks, and the first statement, namely that it lies in the center of the Hecker algebra, this again goes through, but the characterization is a little more difficult because the spherical Hecker algebra refers now to special vertices in the building, and so there is a problem if this if the parahoric subgroup is not contained in a special parahoric subgroup. So I think Haynes calls it a standard parahoric subgroup. And so for a standard parahoric subgroup, everything is okay. But in general, there may be a problem. Okay. And so now I want to spend the rest of the time on the case three. Now, unfortunately, I'm giving this talk much too early. So I can only present rather partial results on this, so the case three is work in progress. Which I'm doing together with George Papa. And to describe this, let me actually simplify notation a little bit. So I will now denote by F the localization at P. So this is the localization at P of the previous F. And similarly, E is the localization of the previous Shimura field. And so the first question is, what is the local model for this case? And for this already, I'm not quite sure. So I will take N to be odd now. And the reason is the following. I will just explain this now with innate transparency. So I first have to set up some linear algebra. So remember here how this worked. We took the standard space QP to the N with a standard basis, and then we formed the standard lattice chain here. Now here in our case, in this case where P is now inert, it works a little different. So here we take the standard space over F, again with standard bases E1 up to EN. Then we fix a Hermitian form, which are called phi, on V, and then I make, by the usual rule, I make an alternating form out of this. So here pi is a uniformizer with the property that it's equal to its negative under conjugation. And I choose the basis E1 up to EN such that this Hermitian form has normal forms. So in other words, it is given by exactly the same matrix that Lomon used in his talk. Maybe I learned this from him. And then I just take the same standard lattice chain, except that, of course, now I have to multiply with the uniformizer through. So I again get this lattice chain here. And to say what I want to say about periodicity, I make it really periodic by extending it, by multiplying it with an arbitrary power of the uniformizer. And then it's easy to see that the dual with respect to this Hermitian form, or also the alternating form, that's the same thing. Oh, I see. Sorry. The dual of this lattice here is simply the lattice with the negative index. Okay, so this is setting up the linear algebra for the formulation of the moduli problem. This is the ramified case. Okay, sorry. I'm about in the ramified case. Okay, and so here is the moduli problem. So I again fix a set of indices in this index set between 0 and n minus 1. And now I want to also impose a symmetry condition, namely if an index appears that is not equal to 0, then also the symmetric index should also appear in this index set. And now I said that the naive idea would be to extend simply the moduli problem that defines the Shimura variety just in the most naive way over the integers. And this is what this index naive is supposed to mean. So I just take the naive moduli problem, and then this gives me the following local model. So I want to consider commutative diagrams, which are just as before. So I have, again, this periodic lattice chain. I want to consider locally direct summons as OS sheaves. But now I want to impose, first of all, that they are stable under the quadratic extension OF. Furthermore, the rank should be n. And now there are two further conditions I have to impose. Namely, first of all, this chain should be isotropic. So for instance, if the index that I'm talking about is 0, in this case I have a perfect form on this lattice lambda 0, and then I just am asking of the subspace to be totally isotropic with respect to this alternating form. In general, there will be an index, let's say, here, and then symmetrically around n minus 1 here, around n here. So that will be I1 and n minus 1. And then I have a pairing between these two lattices, and this should mean then, this isotropy condition should mean that these two subspaces annihilate each other. And then the second condition is known as the Cutworth condition, which just says that the characteristic polynomial of the linear operator that I get by restricting the uniformizer to one of these subspaces should be given, should have characteristic polynomial given by the right-hand side. And the right-hand side is a polynomial with coefficients in the reflex field, I mean the ring of integers of the reflex field, and therefore this does make sense. And so it's again easy to see that this is representable by a projective scheme over the ring of integers of E. So now I need again light. So now I can also explain why I am supposing that N is odd. Namely, if you look inside the group at the stabilizer of this lattice chain, and here, Castleman, listen, this is the power Horrocks subgroup, whereas if N is even, it's not sometimes. And this is somehow a first technical difficulty that appears in this case. And this difficulty doesn't seem to be so academic, because it seems to be reflected in the geometry of this form of this local model. In any case, so here we are with this naive idea of the model, of this local model. And so the first thing that Papa has noticed already some years back, so he took the case where I is equal to zero. So this means just a self-dual lattice. And he noticed that this is not flat. If the indices are not almost equal. And the reason is very easy to see. So once you doubt this thing, it's easy to see that this is true. Namely, you just look at the dimension of this local model. So with generic fiber, we are just looking at the Grassmannian. So the dimension is R times S. On the other hand, in the local model, when you look at this Kottwitz condition, you see that if you reduce this modulo P, it just doesn't tell you anything. So all these local models for any index RS are mixed together, and so therefore it doesn't give you the right dimension unless R and S have, so to speak, the maximum. I mean, if R times S is the maximum, then this does check out to be the correct dimension, and indeed it seems reasonable to think that in this case, so in other words, if R minus S is smaller or equal to 1, that then indeed this naive local model is flat. Okay. Now, Pappas, in this paper, he proposed a modification of this naive moduli problem by imposing a further condition. This seems actually quite reasonable to assume the belief that this always gives the correct model, but this leads into very difficult problems with matrix singularities which are not solved. So, I mean, this seems to be an avenue that cannot lead to a successful story, especially if you make this index set bigger. So what we did then, after trying this for a while, is to turn around and say, why don't we just take the flat closure? Then obviously it will be flat. So we now redefine the local model. By taking MI, so, and this was here, of course, a naive thing. So I just take this to be the flat closure of the generic fiber. In the naive local model. Okay. And so now the question is whether this gives you the analog of Goetz's result. And so this is what I hope. Well, okay, I mean, I think it should do more. So, I mean, so what I want is the same thing. So in other words, okay, now I've, of course, this first statement can be erased. Namely, it is flat by definition, but the question is it true that the special fiber is reduced? So same as in Goetz. Well, we can't prove this at the moment. We can prove it provided either, well, in the case n equals to 3, so for SU3, it's okay, or else this I is equal to 0, or the set k and k plus 1, where these are the two indices around the middle. So in other words, n is equal to 2k plus 1. And the reason is that if you take this corresponding stabilizer group, that is a special maximal power Horrock subgroup, and they do they are easier to treat than the general power Horrock subgroups. I think that the statement should hold in general, but unfortunately we cannot prove this. I'll make a remark about this maybe at the end of my talk, but I want to say something about the way we are approaching this, because I think that there's some independent interest in this. So the method is simply try to extend the method that Goertz was using, and this entails embedding the special fiber of the local model, the naive local model, inside the flag variety, but this time it would be the flag variety for the unitary group. So the method is embed inside flag variety for the unitary group. I mean affine flag variety. But when you think about it, there's no such thing in the literature, because so far people have always started with a group over the residue field, I mean over the field, ground field little k, and then made a loop group out of this by taking the points with values in the power series, I mean in the Lorentz series field. But here this cannot work, because this unitary group is a ramified unitary group, so it doesn't come by extension from the ground field. And so this led us to consider, so to speak, a geometric version of Bruyer-Titz theory, and I find that it actually even throws some light on classical Bruyer-Titz theory. So let me explain what I mean by this. So let me introduce the notation K, capital T, for this Lorentz power series field. And let's take G, a reductive group, over K. And then I can make a loop group out of this. So, namely, the R-valued points of G with values in any K algebra, little k algebra, R, are just the set of points in the power series, in the Lorentz series ring with coefficients in R. And it's easy to see that this is always an int group scheme. So in other words, an inductive limit of schemes. And so in this sense, this functor is representable. And so I want to state some basic facts about this. I actually think that they are probably true in general, although we have only checked them in the case that is of concern to us, namely the unitary group, and maybe also the Eden orthogonal groups. So, theorem. So first of all, let me assume that K is algebraically closed. Then first of all, this group scheme is reduced if and only if the group has no rational characters over K. Secondly, the set of connected components of G can be identified with the co-invariance under the inertia subgroup of the algebraic pi 1 of G. Now notice, this is just, the map here is just given by the Cutlets homomorphism, and so this feeling that everybody always had, namely that by defining this map, Cutlets was actually, defining the connected component of this group. This is now literally true for this kind of structure. Okay, and then we have flag varieties for these. So the third statement is, let P be a parahoric subgroup. Of G of K, then there exists the unique connected affine group scheme. This will, of course, be infinite dimensional group scheme P contained in G with rational points equal to this given parahoric subgroup. And furthermore, the quotient so let me call it maybe F exists as an int scheme . Furthermore, the natural map that you have from G to this quotient is locally trivial for the Zariski topology. And so, finally, the thing that is very important for us, if we want to imitate this proof of Gertz, is normality of the Schubert varieties. And so for this, at the moment, let me be prudent and say that I want to take G to be the unitary group. And then the statement is that the Schubert varieties, so this, by this I just mean closures of orbits of, let's say in the Iwahori case, so G mod B are normal and compatibly Frobenius split. I mean, this is a statement that makes the proof of Gertz get off the ground. In the case of GLN, one can prove this actually by elementary means. Gertz also treated the case of the symplectic group, in which case he was fortunate in that Faltings had proved this normality in the meantime, and in proving this here, we are following Faltings' proof with some additional complications. Okay, so I think I'll stop here. I wanted to make two comments actually. Namely, I didn't say anything about this theorem of Haynes and Go. No, it's not here anymore. In some sense we haven't even thought about, but I want to mention a curious calculation of this function in one particular case. So let me consider the case. So n is still odd, and I want to take r to be equal to n minus 1, and s is equal to 1. Okay, so in this case, we can again look at the local model just for the index 0. and then it's a special fiber. In this case, it turns out that there are two orbits under the parahoric subgroup. One is non-singular, corresponds to non-singular points, and one is a unique singular point. And so this function that we are looking for, of course, should have support in these two elements. It should be zero outside these two elements. And so one can calculate what this function is, so the value of psi j. And it turns out that in both cases, the value is equal to 1. This is a result due to Kramer. And it's quite a striking result, because that for a non-singular point, the value is 1. That's, of course, not a surprise. It has to be. But in general, for a singular point, then there should be contributions from the higher sheaves of vanishing cycles. But in this case here, there doesn't seem to be any. And so I brooded over this seeming puzzlement. And in my opinion, this shows that the action of the inertia subgroup is non-trivial. So when you take the invariance, you are actually killing the higher vanishing cycle sheaves. And therefore, the result is the same as in the non-singular, as in the non-singular locus. I have no other explanation for this, but it seems to be a rather curious thing. So that's the one remark I wanted to make. And the other one is I wanted to present another transparency, namely with a picture, which shows that for n even, the situation really is different. So, I mean, in this case, as I said, this stabilizer group is not a parahoric subgroup. Of course, there are some people who just say, oh, it's very close to one. But no, it seems that this does play a role, more than a theoretical role. So this is the case where n is equal to 2. And the index I took, of course, r equal to 1 equal to s. And so we calculated the naive local models for the various parahoric subgroups. So there's the Iwahori subgroup, which is two projective lines crossing each other in a double point. But then there's some extraneous point here, the red dot here. This is a point that doesn't live to characteristic zero. So this is a case where the naive local model is not flat. And then there are these two maxima parahoric subgroups, the one corresponding to the case of a self-dual lattice. This in this case is only the intersection of two projective line and a double point. And this double point now is the image not only of this double point here, but also of the red dot here. And then there's the other case. This is the other special vertex here. In this case, this one of these projective lines gets squeezed to a point here. I mean, this doesn't play any special role at this point here. But this extraneous point remains. So therefore, this model here is also, this naive model here is also not flat. So if I take the closure, I'm removing these two points here, and then I get the local model, which is here in black, and that one is flat. But this is sort of very surprising here. Namely, it has never happened before that in the case of a maxima parahoric subgroup, the local model was not had a special fiber that was not irreducible. So this happens here for this case, and this does create a difficulty. That's exactly why I have to restrict at the moment to the statement of the theorem on the local models to the case where these vertices are only special. Okay, thank you.